And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Matuta.
And welcome, everybody. Hands-On Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo. And I am Gary Matuta, and we have an awesome show in store for you today. In fact, we have an in-studio guest, so let me give my shout-outs. Hello, everybody watching on social media, live stream on Facebook and YouTube. Hello. As you can tell on the live stream, I am not alone in the dojo today. We have as our guest Jeff Kassab, and we're going to be talking about the role of the father, you know, the man of the house, and how he can, how he should lead his family to Christ. So that's going to be a very important topic. And by the way, you are part of the program, so give us a call at 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. Or, yeah, of course, you can always send your emails. And even if you have a question for Jeff, I'll forward you the email from the dojo mailbox. You just email to questions@handsonapologetics.com, and I answer every email. And sometimes we even bring them on the show, and I think we are going to have a mailbox show soon. So usually we do the Finding the Fallacy and the Meet the Early Church Father, but whenever I have a guest actually in the dojo, I want to try to use every minute I can. So I see you're already you were surfing on the social media even before we went on the show. Jeff, you are like my counterpart because I have nothing to do with social media. Yeah. I'm terrible with communication.
I tell you, now it's the day and age. It's like everything you do, you got to figure out a way to how to get it on social media and how to attract followers and how to get people to listen to the show. And it's the way to go now. Yeah. I mean, it's the way to go. Everybody's, we just did our first podcast in our men's group last week because everybody's in the car. Everybody's got headphones on or at the gym or taking walks or so, you know, it's the I don't want to say it's the new thing. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why you, the listener, you need to help us out because I'm not going to do it if I need your help. You know, take a couple of minutes, you know, like us on social media. Yeah. Tell your friends about the program, especially this program. You know, send them a link about Jeff being on the show and our topic, and we really appreciate it.
So many good stuff on this. I've been going back to some of your later shows, and such good speakers and great topics. And you you know, you don't want to miss out on all this. You know, it's free information. I mean, you know, it's a free way to evangelize and to learn the faith. You know, so it's great. It's a great what you're doing here, Gary.
Yeah, I wish I had these resources when I first started out. We were talking about that before the show. Was that you know, when we started out, it was basically me alone in a library, you know, or typing stuff out.
Hundreds of hours of research, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now it's you jump on the internet and it's pretty much all online now.
Everything is, yeah.
Yeah, so Jeff, you know, we're growing and we're getting lots of new listeners, and you've been on the show a couple of times, but maybe could you start us off with just giving us a thumbnail sketch of your journey of faith?
Sure, yeah. You know, and we've been over this a few times, so the people that have heard it, especially my friends and family, like, oh, you're going to tell us your story again. So I'll just
So say it. A Hail Mary while he's still.
You know, I'll just keep it real short. You know, a few years back, 2010, I was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, all I can say is that through my sufferings, through the cross, it brought me to Jesus. It really brought me to know who Jesus Christ was. 2011, I had the, you know, a colon cancer, and we went through chemo and radiation and surgeries. And long story short, with my patron saint Padre Pio, which just happens to be behind me every time I come to the dojo, and he's watching over me. You know, through Jesus Christ, he helped me heal. And, you know,
thanks be to God.
Yes, long story short, I was sitting one day after I was healed, and I said, you know, there's just has to be more to life and more to the Lord than, hey, I'm healed, Lord. And, you know, when I'll call you when I need you again,
right. You know, yeah, yeah.
Can't be, that can't be the purpose of this healing. So I sat down. I said, Lord, I'm at your service. You, whatever you want from me, you got it. So, you know, everything was kind of mellow for about a week. You know, little did I know what the Lord was going to ask for me. And just a total, complete surrender to him and a change of life. Mm-hmm. And he does that when you ask him for things and people say prayers don't get answered. Well, be careful what you ask for, you know. So for 6 months, he asked me to go to the seminary. And for 6 months, I told him no. I said, no, yeah. Lord, I'm not going. I got two kids in college. I haven't been to school in 25 years. You're not asking me to go to a community college. You're asking me to go to Sacred Heart Major Seminary right. and study theology and philosophy. You know, who am I to do that?
Yeah.
Anyways, my wife, Alam, came up to me. She's like, you know what, Jeff? You know, you're healed, but you should be happy. You look miserable. What's wrong with you? I said, well, this is what the Lord is asking from me. And she literally said to me, how long are you going to say no to Jesus? You know, I said, okay. I don't like admitting when she's right, but, you know, she was right in this case.
Yeah.
A couple days later, went to Sacred Heart, registered, got everything going. And next thing you know, 2013, I entered there. Best 5 years of my life. I graduated in 2018 with my degree in pastoral theology. Now I'm in the master's program and studying, getting my MA in theology. And we'll see where the Lord takes me. Evangelization has been, you know, the ministry's been going great. A lot of stuff online. Been doing this Bible in the backyard.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about
some
of this.
I know you like that. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not only where you're fruitful going to seminary and, you know, getting the degrees in education, but you have your fingers in a lot of pots, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You do the video, right?
So I was sitting in the backyard over the summer. This is my first summer off in 6 years because I was always taking summer classes and doing things. Mm. So this was my first summer off, and I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm working on a book, and the book's called The Journey to Heaven. I said, I'm going to work on that this whole summer. Well, you know, a lot of times things never go your way.
Yeah.
So I didn't work on the book at all, right? I sat in the backyard one day. It was a nice day. I had my computer out reading scripture. Like, you know what? Let me just do like a little Bible study here for some of my, you know, friends and all that.
Yeah.
I put up a couple pieces of plywood. I got a stand out. I put the iPhone up. I hit record. And I've done a lot of Bible studies at ECRC, so I have all the PowerPoints. So I picked out like 8 or 10 slides, and I put, like, for example, I would do like on the mission, like the Great Commission, mm-hmm. we shall evangelize. I just picked out some Bible verses, gave them a little bit of info. I want them to search scripture. I just gave enough where they could say, I want more. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes, I recorded it, put it on YouTube, and, you know, it's getting hundreds and hundreds of hits, and I think I'm on my 9th episode now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and I did it all summer, and like I said, I didn't write a page in the book, but I had fun with these Bible. They're called Bible in the Backyard. You can find them on my YouTube channel or on my blog. I have a blog called The Journey to Heaven. Mm-hmm. It has all my articles and papers and everything I do and all my videos, and all the links for these shows, too, are on there, too,
awesome.
People can watch it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Now, you mentioned ECRC, so a lot of listeners probably aren't familiar with what is ECRC.
Yeah, ECRC. So I'm from the Chaldean Rite, from the Eastern Rite Church, mm-hmm. and ECRC is located on Maple and Inkster, and it's called Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center. It's kind of the center for our diocese, like where we offer all retreats and Bible studies and daily mass, and our bishop does Bible study there. I'm doing a program called Who is Jesus? And in fact, tonight, every Thursday, I do it. We just have so much going on there to re-evangelize our community. And it's great. Great
it's
people there.
It's a fantastic there. Group.
Oh, man. Just,
talk you about know, on fire Catholics, folks.
Yeah, Patrice and Kurtum and Niran, and, you know, they're just great. They do so much for the community. And all of us are, you know, faithful lay people with families working, mm-hmm. and we're just trying to get the event, you know, what Jesus wants us to do as lay people.
Yeah.
And that's evangelize, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing. I'm really I'm blessed to be a part of ECRC. We're one big family, and it's amazing.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the men's group. This is really astounding, too.
Yeah, so a couple, 3 years ago, a friend of mine, we decided to, you know, we sat around talking about just manly stuff. Like, you know, we should start a men's group. And you know, there are so many men in our community, not just in our community, just men in general, that are lost when it comes to the faith. And a lot of them think that they're the only ones struggling with finances or with this type of sin or with pornography or with whatever the man is struggling with. We all have our own struggles.
Right.
So we say, you know what, let's do this group and let's get together every other month and have these like little meetings and some food and beer and wine and just like a man thing, you know, we can have fellowship after. So it took us about, before we even did our first one, it took us like 2 months to get the name. We threw all kind of names.
That's
out
always
there.
The hardest part.
Oh my gosh! You know, finally, then at the end, everyone's like agreeing to the Lion's Den. I'm like, listen, we want nothing to do with the Lions. I love them. We don't want to be called the Lion's Den, right?
By the way, yeah, this is a reference, by the way, to the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
So for those who aren't in the Detroit area or not familiar with the NFL.
And I'm sure after last Monday, everybody's heard about the Lions, right?
Yeah, so that was a good choice, I think.
Yeah. So Bashar, the guy that my co-partner or the co-founder, he's like, he just threw out Genesis 4:9. Like, I'm not sure what that verse was. Huh. I looked it up. Am I my brother's keeper? Hmm. And as men, we are. We are each other's keeper. And I'm like, you know what? This is after 2 months, this is the perfect name. So yeah. Our group is called Genesis 4:9. We meet every other month. We're going around to different churches. We have different speakers. But our second annual conference is coming up November 9th.
Okay.
At Mother of God Church. And Father Larry Richards will be our main speaker with Father Matthias from Brighton, Michigan. And St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's going to be a great all-day conference, so we hope you come.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered, it's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, Escovina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
24 says, "Do not say I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. Hands on Apologetics. And Jeff Kassab is in the dojo today. And actually, he's given the sensei some lessons on what to do on Facebook and stuff. So I'm learning a lot, not only what he's saying, but also about the feed. And you know, right before the break, Jeff, you mentioned your men's group. What, again, is that the date and where it's at?
So our annual conference is November 9th at Mother of God Church in Southfield, Michigan. It's an all-day event. It's from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We have Mass in between. We have our two main speakers. Our main speaker is Father Larry Richards, which everybody, he's a renowned speaker over the world,
yep.
On fire, especially for men's ministry. And so it'll be all day. And we also have Father Matthias from Brighton Church there. He's great. He's on fire. He's amazing. And we have St. Paul Street Evangelization. A couple guys from there coming to speak. Mm-hmm. Tickets are only $10. There's breakfast. There's lunch. And we really just want men. It's for men only. You know, the nice thing about these men only is, you know, when your wife says, can I come? You just, no.
No.
There's no arguing. They can't say why. They can't. It's for men only.
Yeah, right.
You can't come. So that's the great thing about that. Yeah.
But you know, what's amazing though, folks, with this men's conference is the numbers. I mean, you've had great success in
this
men's group.
So, you know, I still remember the very first meeting we had was at Sacred Heart Seminary. We had about 35, 40 guys. And we're in our third year, and we've had we have about 250 to 300 like active men, and we have about 100 and 150 that show up regular basis, and it's on fire. You know, the Holy Spirit is really working and bringing in men to this, and it's great to we need that bonding time. We need to, you know, we talk after we hear this great talk. You know, we have fellowship. Sometimes we'll go to a cigar shop. Sometimes we'll just hang around the church. You know, we're always getting barbecue and pulled brisket and all things that guys like, and beer. And, you know, and that's what guys do. You know, that's our bonding time. We can talk a little Jesus. We can talk a little business. We can talk a little this. And I think men need that. I really think they do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And but boy, that is amazing as far as the numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
And you were told me next year you're hoping to possibly get somebody that our listeners are very familiar with, Jesse Romero, to come.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we just received the email back from him today that said he's available.
Okay.
And most likely we're going to book him. It's either next year, November 7th, I think, for next year. So we're hoping to book him a year in advance. And
So
we'd love to have him. He's on fire.
Jesse and Anita, if you're listening to the broadcast, this is a good group to hang out with. Yeah. So, man, there's just so many great things happening, you know, ECRC, the Chaldean community in Southeast Michigan.
Yeah.
And you're really lighting a fire under men, which kind of brings us to the topics today.
Yeah,
You know, what is the role of the father, the man of the house, in regards to leading your children and your wife to Christ?
Yeah. You know, Gary, we're going to get into some of the stats, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you might think, well, you know, should I go to church? I don't feel like it today. You know, I'm tired from last night. It's not important. My wife and kids can go. No big deal. But I tell you, those long-term effects have a serious outcome on your kids as they grow up, you know. And we can take this back. You know, we talk about men and men of faith and you know, we can take this back to Adam.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
We can literally go back to Genesis. And when Eve was being, you know, this was their wedding night, right? God told them to go, be fruitful, and multiply. So you could say this was their wedding night, their honeymoon night. Hmm. I mean, if you could put that kind of analogy, you know, Adam and Eve are in their hotel room. Somebody,
paradise.
Right, in paradise.
Hotel paradise.
Yeah, exactly. Hotel paradise. You know, Adam's, let's say, in the restroom or another room, and here comes someone knocking on your door. Your wife goes to answer the door. There's a guy there trying to seduce your wife. What would you do as a husband? You would go and protect her from this guy. Well, the devil did the same thing to Eve. He went and seduced her in a way, of course, not in a sexual way, but he went and seduced her, conned her, tricked her. Well, where was Adam? You know, we know a couple of verses after that, God asked Adam, where are you?
Right.
It's a rhetorical question. He knows where he's at.
Yeah.
But I think what God meant was, where were you? You should have been protecting Eve while the devil was tricking her.
Yeah.
So the devil has been trying, the best he can to attack the family. And he attacks the man. Actually, he first attacked the woman. He attacked Eve. And Deacon Harold Burke Sivers has a great analogy of this. And he says he attacks the woman because she's the only one that can give life besides God. Hmm. God gives life, and she can give life, right? And, of course, so can man, but not like a woman can. If the devil can attack that part of the family, that, you know, half his job is already done.
Yeah.
You know, Adam did not protect his wife. God says, where were you? God knows where he's at. Should have been there protecting your wife, right? Protecting Eve. And that's look where we're at now.
Yeah.
The
right.
devil's still attacking the family. And I'm sorry to say this, but where are the men today? You know, we should be standing up and protecting our wives and our families from the evil one. And it's a spiritual battle. It's not necessarily a physical battle, but it's a spiritual battle. We need, as men, I can't stand when somebody says the rosary's for women, prayer is for women. No.
Yeah.
A real man, a true man, prays so his family can be protected from the evil one.
Yeah.
You know, and we lack that so much in our church today. And I think I told you this last time. We were in Chicago a few months ago. I don't know if I mentioned to you or not. Me and my wife and my daughter were in Chicago. It was Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. Let's go to church. We found a church in downtown Chicago. Beautiful church. You know, we sat there for Mass. I look up at the, you know, on the altar, and there's priest, just the priest. There's 8 women there. God bless them. Women have a beautiful role in the church. One read the letter to St. Paul. One did the Psalms in the beginning before the gospel. The other 6 or 7 women gave Eucharist. You know, where are the men?
Yeah, where are the men?
Where are the men? I don't want to say this is a man's response. No, you know, women have a beautiful role in the church. But where are the men of the church? Why aren't the men doing that? Right? You know, what are they doing? It was a Sunday. Are you sitting home watching football?
Yeah.
Come on. Something's wrong, Gary. You know, we need, I think, to re-evangelize men. They need to take back control of the faith. They need to take control of their families. And they need to take control back of our world before the devil takes control.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and it's not like we're saying, no, they can't play a role, but it's like where was Adam during all this?
You exactly, know, exactly right, right.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it can't be the priest's fault. I mean, if people, men are not stepping up, you know, women are taking over the role. Again, God bless them. Women have an important role in the church, but so do men.
Yeah,
so do men, and we're losing that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how, unfortunately, sometimes things are stereotyped. Like you said, praying the rosary is something for women, and you know, both of our patron saint, you know, Padre Pio, right over our shoulder, he was a man's man, and he had the gift of continual prayer.
He
was always praying the rosary,
even when he would fall asleep at night. His hands would be on whatever bead he left off. When he woke up, he just continued praying.
Wow.
You know, yeah. I mean, I don't know, 20 rosaries? There was number of rosaries he prayed.
And it wasn't
a
typical rosary. It was a much longer rosary.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so, I mean, but it's funny. Well, then how would... Now it's, you know, it's only for women? No, that's not true. Some of the greatest saints in the church had a devotion to Our Lady.
Because St. John Paul II,
he
had the rosary in his hand all day long. He had a great devotion to Our Lady. And, you know, I don't know, it's just, even now in this little men's group we have a chat and a WhatsApp, and there's about 8 or 9 of us in there, the core, And, you know, they're all day long battling. Hey, I'm on my fifth rosary. Hey, I'm on my second. Oh, my God. I thought I'm doing good. I'm on my second rosary. And these guys are praying 6 and 7, 8 rosaries a day. But, you know, as men, we need that challenge. We have these two guys in our chat. They're constantly battling about how many rosaries they pray a day. You know, it puts a challenge on us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
oh, right. I can fit another rosary in. Yeah. I can fit another divine mercy in. I can fit this. And I so... men need to be challenged. It's just part of our nature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We love competition.
Yeah, for sure.
And,
yeah.
And you know, what better thing to compete than the prize of heaven?
Right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Compete with the rosary. That's great. You can pray more rosaries in a day.
Yeah. That would be a great phenomenon to get going in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, it's so strange that men are AWOL and pretty much, I mean, there are some very good men out there and I don't want to discount, you know, But part of the problem is you feel like you're the only one.
Yeah.
If you are.
Yeah.
And that's why something like the men's group you got together is important, because then you could see I'm not alone. There are other people are going to conferences and things like that. So you know you're not alone. You're just on the front lines. You know, when you're on the front lines, you feel alone.
Yeah.
You but know, you're not alone.
When you're on the front line, you're the first one to get shot, though.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So on the battlefield, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's okay. Hey, we're the first ones. We're on the battlefield. We're on the front lines. And you know, we have each other's back, you know? And I think if men really understood what that phrase meant, that's back from the time of Roman armies when they were so powerful. Mm-hmm. When a guy said, I have your back, he's talking about war and soldiers. And, you know, when a Roman guard or an army would stand, they would stand in, you know, rows and rows of men, and their front of their front would be filled with armor, but their back had no armor on it, be bare. Why? Because the guy behind them had their back. Nobody could attack them.
Right.
Then the last row of men, their back would be bare. The guys would face the other way, so they would cover their back. So when back in those days, when a Roman soldier said, I had your back, it was a matter of life or death.
Right.
Because he's talking about war, going to battle. So when I say I got your back, Gary, it's a serious thing. It means if you need me for prayer, if you need me for support, if you're going through a problem, I got your back. All you got to do is call me or text me, and we can talk about it. It's a serious, serious thing. You know, it's not just something that's, I got your back, you know. No,
right.
it meant life or death back in the Roman days.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, because the evil one doesn't normally do frontal assaults. He's too smart for that.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to sneak around the edges and, you know, catch you from behind when you're not looking.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we used to, you know, 20 years ago, we would say the devil is on the outside trying to get into your house so he can destroy the family. Now he's already in. Yeah. iPads, phones, computers. He's in your house now.
Yeah,
he's working from without.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
We're chatting with Jeff Kassab about men leading their families to Christ. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's an on fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber. I want to invite you to take advantage of having your funeral or your loved one's funeral at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. It's a 115-year-old church, beautiful chapel. And all you got to do is call me at 661-972-7872, and I'll personally make the arrangements with your mortuary to have your funeral or your loved one's funeral here at Sacred Heart Chapel. You won't regret it. 661-972-7872. God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are chatting with Master Apologist Jeff Kassab about men leading their families to Christ. And Jeff, you are kind of like the stat guy. Last time we had, we were tearing apart that Pew poll
about the Eucharist.
So, what did the stats tell us about fathers taking an active role in the faith?
Yeah, we'll do that before we do married men go to. Let's do this one with the father. So it's
okay.
The stats are amazing, right? You can't fathom these numbers. I mean, I didn't know really it was this high. But listen to these numbers. So there's a study done. It says, if both the father and mother attend regular mass, weekly mass, 33% of their children will end up as regular churchgoers, 41% will end up attending irregularly, and only a quarter of their children will end up not practicing at all.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the next stat. If the father is irregular and the mother is regular, which means probably if the father goes on Christmas and Easter, and the mother goes regular, now listen to this. It goes from 33% of their children down to 3% of the children become regular themselves.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Just the mother goes without the father.
Yeah.
That tells us something already about the role of the father in the family, right? While 59% will become irregular and 38% will be lost.
Wow.
I can't picture these numbers, right? Now, there is one more. If the father is non-practicing, like not at all, and the mother goes regular, only 2% will become regular worshipers, 37% will attend irregularly, and 60% of their children will be lost.
Mm. Wow.
What a stat.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, we go back to, yes, do the mothers and women have an important role in the church? Yes. Important role in the house? Yes. But still, there's the role of, each one has their own role. Mm-hmm. But the role of the father is so important because the children always look up to their father as a role model, as, you know, there's nothing. I never forget this story, this image of Father John Ricardo. You know, mm-hmm. Father John Ricardo?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He says he used to come in. Now, his dad was the CEO of Chrysler, the very wealthy family. But his dad, he said, and his image never left his head. He would come in every night, go in his dad's room, and he would see his dad, a man with a lot of power, a lot of wealth, on his knees with a Bible or a rosary in his hand.
Hmm.
And look at Father John Ricardo today.
Yeah.
He's setting the world on fire through his ministry.
Yeah.
And it's all because he had a father like he had that was a man of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wasn't afraid to pray, wasn't afraid to read the Bible. There's nothing more powerful than when children walk into their home, no matter what age they are, and they see their father with a rosary or a Bible. because they're so used to seeing the mother. That's almost a regular. Mm-hmm. You know, when I walk in, I see my mom praying. It's no big deal. But if I walk in and see my dad praying, wow, that's something amazing. You know?
Yeah.
So, and that's where these stats are coming from. It's so important to have the father to play a role in the family.
Yeah, you know, that was in my own experience. Well, my dad had to work two or three jobs, mm-hmm. and to support the family. So he'd sleep during the day. So when he would go to Mass, he would go to Mass with us every Sunday and Holy Days, but he would often fall asleep during Mass. And that made a huge impression to me because it showed that Mass was so important,
yeah.
that he would be willing to give up sleep to be there with his family at Mass. And like your example of Father,
yeah.
Ricardo's, that made a huge impact on my faith life.
Yeah. And I think all of us, we always reflect back to our faith can be based on what our father did. You know, did our father go to church? Did our father pray? Did our father teach us the faith? Because the responsibility of the father, you know, when you go into a marriage prep now before you get married, you know, the priest will ask you, what is your job as a husband or a wife? You get 20 answers,
mm-hmm.
but their sole job is to lead each other to heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really their job, through their sacrifice, through marriage. And our job as fathers is to teach our children who Jesus Christ is. Because you know as well as I do, Gary, if they don't learn who Jesus Christ is in the house from you and I, they're not going to learn who Jesus Christ is once they get out there in the streets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? They're going to go to college, 18 years old. They're going to go away. They're going to come back in 2-3 years and say, Dad, I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
And it's happened. It's happened many, many times. It's happening in a lot of communities.
Yeah.
Or I'm a Protestant, or I'm this. So many of them are leaving the faith because they're not learning. Us as fathers are not teaching them who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about who he is, but what he did for us and how salvation comes only through him.
Yeah.
You know, it's so important.
Yeah. You know, and that's a constant theme here at Hands-On Apologetics and Virgin Most Powerful is if your family's not going to learn the faith from you, they're not going to learn it on Discovery Channel. They might learn on EWTN, but what's
yeah.
the chances of them watching EWTN? You
yeah.
know, it's up to you. And if you fail,
yeah.
they're not going to get the information. And, you know, maybe by God's grace, you know, we have these inversions of people coming back to the faith.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't drop the ball. And,
yeah.
and of course, you know, even if you are a solid Catholic father who, you know, exhibits his faith, lives the faith, you know, that's also not a guarantee that your children won't throw the faith away.
Yeah.
But at least you've done what you can, and you can always pray for them. You know, there's always hope.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure there's always hope. But,
yeah.
you know, and like you said, if we're not the ones that are leading them to Christ, it's just they're not going to find it out there. All they're going to find out there is garbage and relativism and lies and all these things that the secular world is saying that it's okay, right? The secular world said these things are fine. But, you know, and one of my biggest fears as a father is, like, you know, when it's time to be called home and the Lord brings me up and says, listen, among many other things he'll say to me, I gave you these children as a gift and you promised that you would lead them to heaven and you haven't. You know, what's my answer going to be to the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. It's too late then.
Yeah.
You know, it's too late, man.
Yeah.
So I think we need to do a much better job as fathers. And you know, we just had our first podcast, Pilar and I, last week. And we talked about this, you know, and even the devil works in like very, very subtle ways. We've become so busy with soccer practice, traveling hockey teams, basketball, taking the kids here or there. We've become so busy. Supposedly, we're doing this for our kids. Really, what we're losing out on, Gary, is family time.
Hmm.
There's no more family time.
Yeah.
We don't eat together anymore, right? We
right.
can't even. My kids live at home, and they're in their 20s. Sometimes I don't see my son for 2 days.
Yeah.
He lives at home with me.
Yeah.
You know, no, everybody's so busy. Can we get like, so now my wife says, listen, Sundays after church, we either have lunch together as a family or we have dinner. It's got to be one of the two because everybody's so busy during the weekday, including myself, that we don't have family time together. And, yeah. You know, back in the 70s when I was growing up, man, you know, I remember we playing out on the street. You know, when in the summertime, when the mom said it's lunchtime, the street clears,
yep.
And everybody goes to their houses for an hour, eats their peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever they're going to have. But they had that family time together, 5:30, 6 o'clock, dad got home, the streets cleared out again, all the kids went and had family dinner.
Yep.
So different. First of all, now there's not even kids in the street.
Yeah, that's true.
They're on the computer or they're, you know, playing the games or, you know, it's a shame. You don't see kids in the street anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so things have definitely changed.
Yeah. So, well, those are two really good bullet points. You know, number one, if you're a father, you need to go to church. Just regular church attendance, just doing that, having that witness makes a huge impact in terms of stats. And number two, you got to carve out some family time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to have those opportunities where they could see you praying or to see, discuss something about God or,
definitely.
You know what I mean? Because if everyone's on their, you know, their game system and no one eats together, no one really talks, where's that witness within the family?
What do you talk about? I mean, you know, how do you talk to your son or your daughter? When, you know, when do you talk to them? When they have a problem? By that time, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, we should have been talking to them before that. But, you know, the father has to be that spiritual leader in the family. It's so important. And, you know, in Ephesians 5:25 or maybe 5:24, you know, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved his church. Mm-hmm. And Gary, how did Christ love his church? He died for it.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
We are to die as fathers every day for our families, to die and rise with Christ, to give our lives to our wives. If that means sacrificing, you know, time with friends and time with this, I have to die for my wife and my family as Christ died for his church. That's how much he loved the church. He died for her, right?
Yeah.
That was his bride. So we need to die as fathers. We need to die for our families every single day.
Yeah, you know what the guy take on that is? Well, okay, if there's an intruder in the house with a gun, then I'll lay down my life. You know, that's the
will
easy
really?
Way out.
Will you really? Will you?
I know, but that's the easy way out. The hard part is the day-to-day dying to self, giving up the football game, giving up friends just so that you can spend time with the family, pray, be a good witness.
Yeah. You know what amazes me is now during football season is so many men, like they're on 10 fantasy football leagues and they got so much time to watch all these games and the iPads in front of them and their phone and they're trying to who scored and who did what. Mm-hmm. But ask him to go to church for an hour. First thing they say is, I don't have time.
That's true.
If you have time to be on 10 fantasy football leagues, you got time for church.
To church. Very good. You know. We're chatting with Master Apologist Jeff Kassab about fathers leading their families to Christ. Stay tuned. More on the other side of the break. You're listening to Hands On Apologetics.
This is Jesse Romero.
And I'm Terry Barber.
From the Terry and Jesse Show. And we invite you to listen to the Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio. We're two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. We're on Monday through Friday on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
What we're going to give you is masculine Catholic teachings on the faith. You know, we say we're too inspired to be tired, we're too protected to be dejected, and we're too renewed to be subdued. Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And we will take each issue of the day and show you how the Catholic Church has the answer for our culture. What we really do is bring men back into the Catholic Church, which it's about time to do. We want men to be leaders in their Catholic faith so that they can bring their family to heaven.
Our program is not right versus left. It's right versus wrong. And our program is where Catholicism and culture intersect. It's High Energy Catholic Radio.
We're going to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
The Terry and Jesse Show on the Virgin Most Powerful app.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, folks, to Hands-On Apologetics, and we are talking with Master Apologist Jeff Kassab about men, fathers, leading their families to Christ, and it's a lot of fun. We're just saying, you know, it's amazing the cop-out, like, I'm just too busy to go to church, and yet they have, you know, all these fantasy football leagues and that, but they're too busy to thank God who has given them their family and life and football and all these fantasy, you know, that's just too much.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, people, why, you know, the question arises, especially among men, why do I need to go to church? I think people don't really realize, Gary, the reason that they're going to church. I mean, I don't think they really understand. We are there, just like in the Old Testament, right? We are there to praise God.
Yeah.
And we are there to thank God. Besides listen to his word and the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist, but we are really there to praise God. You know, people say Mass is boring. Well, Mass is boring because you don't know anything about Mass.
Yeah, right.
You know, I have a few of my friends that can't stand football, not because they don't understand the game.
Right.
If you don't understand the game, football doesn't make any sense to you.
Right.
Every 20 seconds, the clock is stopping. What's going on?
Yeah.
If you don't understand anything about the Mass, of course the Mass is going to be boring. But if you truly understand what's happening at the altar, the homily, and really why we're there, you wouldn't want to see, an hour is not long enough.
Yeah, right.
We would need hours and hours of adoration to thank the Lord for coming down in that tiny host, for humbling himself and being available to us anytime we need him through the sacraments.
Yeah.
You know, Mass is beautiful.
Yeah, and to be in his presence is life transforming.
Oh.
And that is, I think, part of the reason, you know, we gave those statistics about whether when fathers are regular attendees at Mass, how it percolates to the family and everything else. It changes you, you know, if you fully participate.
It does.
But, you know, there's also statistics about marriage as well.
Yeah, so there was another stats done by Harvard University, and this one's about marriage and divorce. And even this one said that couples that attend religious services, now it says, are 30 to 50% less likely divorced than those who do not.
Wow.
The actual stat is about 47%. It's more on the higher side. 47% chance less likely to divorce by going to church. And they gave a few reasons for that, right? They believe that religious teachings indicate that marriage is something sacred. Right, I mean, Jesus instituted the sacrament of marriage at the wedding of Cana to a sacrament, mm-hmm. which is something sacred, you know, and they believe that. they also say that religious teaching places a strong emphasis on love and putting the needs of others above one's own. And I think we just talked about Ephesians 5:25, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, dying to my family is putting their needs before mine.
Yeah.
You know, you come home from a long day at work and a lot of guys want to go chill in their man cave or have their beer, and, you know, that's all fine. But, you know, if your kids, I would give up, when my kids were younger, I tell you, I would give up all that sports they did and all that to have family time. I think it was more important. And the kids do need the interaction with, you know, their classes. That, all that is fine, but we have to balance it, Gary. We can't overemphasize. We say, oh, they, you know, do we want our kids in all these? Is it, do our kids really want that, or do we want that for them?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
There's a big difference there. So many kids are burnt out from practices to, especially they're on these traveling teams and school and homework.
Yeah.
There's a big demand out there for kids, you know, and so I think we have to find that balance of what do our kids want. And, you know, we should, if we're busy during the week, we should really set a time. We never set aside time for family time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important. Hey, guys, Saturday night, we're going out to dinner. Oh, Dad, we're going out tonight. Listen, you guys don't go out till 10 o'clock. Dinner's at 5.
Yeah.
We got time.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Go that hour, hour and a half, family time, out to a restaurant, at home, wherever it may be.
Yeah.
But we really need to set aside that time for family time. I think it's very important.
Yeah. You know, I'm curious what your experience is. But when my wife and I go to Mass, you know, we receive these spiritual benefits. But if one of us misses, or, you know, like they're sick or something, like, frankly, I never feel spiritually, you know, quite as up if I missed Mass because I was sick than when I went to Mass. And that kind of puts an extra burden on my wife, because now she has to deal with, you know, the cares of the world plus her grumpy husband. You know what I mean? So it's like we receive spiritual benefits, both of us. And I think that helps marriages, you know, it maybe lightens the load a bit.
It's the worst week for me if I miss Mass.
Yeah.
If I don't receive the Eucharist when, you know, Jesus says, if you don't receive my body and blood, you have no life in you. Boy, was he right.
Yeah.
I just feel spiritually dead that week. I try to go to Mass in the morning, like during the weekday. But it's just never like that Sunday Mass. And it just feels great. My week goes so much better. I have time for adoration during the week. I have time for a prayer. And you're right. I'm miserable, I mean, during the week. I just don't feel the same, you know. And you know, in my house, I have two kids. My son Alex is 28 and my daughter is 25. They're still both living at home. You know, mooching off me as much as they can. But, yeah, it's all right, you know. But I only have one rule in my house. One rule. They can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
But if you live in my house, you have to go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's all I ask. And you know what? They're both great about it. Sometimes my son, you know, has a hard time waking up in the morning, but he'll end up doing a 7 o'clock Mass. And if for some odd reason he misses, he can be sure that on his phone, he gets text messages of everywhere there's confession close to us. Because you need to go to confession.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a sin, and you missed it intentionally. And he's made aware of that. Now, maybe I'm making him go, Gary, but I can tell you one thing. I know when he gets married, he's going to do the same thing with his family.
Yeah. That is so important.
Yes.
So important, because think about it, folks. When, you know, when you first had your first child, where do you model yourself? How do you get your instruction manual on how to be a parent?
Yeah.
You think about, okay, what did mom and dad do? You know, it's time to go back in the way back machine and model what your parents did.
Yeah.
And, of course, we always want to try to exceed our parents to do a better job. And so you're doing that. You're modeling it, you know, regardless if you're always a success. Maybe you fail sometimes, but, you know, your kids will see the struggle.
Yeah.
And when they see the struggle, they will know, wow, mom and dad's taking this seriously. This is the core of their being. It's so important.
And, you know, it's amazing because my daughter now is 25 and all she, you know, and, you know, they're dating and all these things. And she's like, Dad, and she like, tells me and her mom, I want a man of God. I want a faithful man.
Yeah.
And it's we've taught her that way. You know, that's what marriage is about. You know, and same thing with my son. You know, it's so important that he marries a Catholic girl, or, you know, at least a girl that knows who Jesus Christ is. You know, it's going to be his job as a man, as a father, you know, to lead his family to Christ, as hopefully I did, at least the best I could.
Yes.
You know, and that's how we change generations, Gary.
Yeah.
That's how we change them. We change them first. First we start, and then we instill that in our children, and hopefully, you know, through the grace of God, they will instill that in their children, and that's how we keep the faith going.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I if we don't do that, you know, we're doomed.
Yeah.
And we can see that happening with just the lack of fathers that are you know, and especially like in the Chaldean community, I die every day for my wife. I'm out there. I'm working. I'm providing. They have a good life. They have a nice house and nice cars. And listen, all that is leading them in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I used to teach a Bible study at ECRC years ago, and, you know, after the Bible study, you know, and they were all on that side of, west side of town, and all well-to-do, husbands were all well-off, and, you know, they were financially all set. And a few women came up to me one night, and they all said, you know what really made their marriage more successful? They said, how can we get our husbands to go to church and to lead us to Christ?
Yeah.
They got everything materialistically they can desire, but that's not what makes them happy. What makes them happy is having a husband or a father that will lead them to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And men just don't seem to realize that.
Yeah.
No, this is my job as a man is to provide. No, your job as a man is first God first, family next, then provide.
Yeah.
You go in these three orders, and you give God the right time and the right honor, and everything else will fall into place.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What good is it to gain the whole world and lose one soul?
Man.
And, you know, unfortunately, there is this thing, well, if to be a good husband, be a good father, you provide all the material stuff. But it's like, no, that's all going to go.
Yeah.
You know? It's the eternal stuff we got to provide,
yeah.
Or at least point them to, we should
yes.
say.
Yeah. And, you know, how many people do we know, at least how many people do I know, that are very well off to do, and their children are just lost?
Yeah.
They're just lost. You know, you can't buy your children's faith or teach. You can't do that. You know, it has to come from the heart. It has to come from Jesus Christ. And it has to come when they're young.
Yeah.
We have to instill that faith in them. Man, I love when I see children running around church crying. I don't care.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're coming. They might not understand what's going on. But, hey, every Sunday we go to church. And I see families with 2-3 kids and the kids crying. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a few older ladies. Hey, we can't focus. Listen, man, let them come to church. You know, Jesus, let them come to me, right?
Yeah.
Let all children.
Yeah, you memorize the liturgy. You don't need to hear it, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So, boy, I can't believe this hour is full.
Oh,
Jeff.
Great,
Jeff,
Gary.
Where can people go to get all your information?
So there are a few places. You can go on my Facebook page. Just go to Jeff Kassab, KSSAB. Or I have a YouTube page also, has all my stuff on there. Same thing, Jeff Kassab. I have an Instagram page. I have I'm on Twitter.
You're all over.
I'm all over, man. So, you know, the more we get all this out there, the more we are able to evangelize. My blog page, I really want them to go there.
Okay.
It's called thejourneytoheaven.com. All my articles, everything I write, all the shows I do with you. You can get a hold
absolutely.
Of me. They can't get a hold of me. Give them my email, Gary, and then get a hold of me through you.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much,
thank
Jeff.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Wow. Great program. The fun continues tomorrow. We're going to have Ken Hensley coming to the dojo straight from Rome. He's going to start closing out a series on non-believers and how basically parts of reality disappear once you reject God. Coming up next, High Impact Catholic Talk coming at you with the Terry and Jesse Show. And thank you so much, folks, for listening to the program. It's already time to shut down the Midwest Command Center, turn off the dojo lights. God willing, we'll talk again soon. Take care, everybody.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.